What's going on, everybody? I hope you're all enjoying the week, because today is hump day, and you know what that means. Here on the Half Hour of Power, Wednesdays means it's the Power Rankings Show. All 32 teams ranked from worst to first, just for you. I'll tell you why each team is where. So let's get right into the hard-hitting action with the Power Rankings. Yeah, baby! Okay, now before I work my way up the power rankings, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. You can send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. Or of course, if you have a MySpace, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or visit the almighty website on the web, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. That's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So let's get right into the power rankings. 32nd to first. Yeah, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Beast Child back in the house. I'm here with TWHOP, and so I wasn't able to do a topics and opinions show yesterday, so really quickly, I mean, there wasn't too much to know about this Monday night game, but Colts win 29-7, and Manning throws a touchdown on the pick, 259, 23 for 37, Joseph Addai, 16 for 85, Kenton Keith and Manning had rushing touchdowns, Dallas Clark caught a 35-yard touchdown catch, Reggie Wayne was third in the league with 131 receiving yards this week, and on the Jaguars side, David Garrard got injured, Gray came in, threw two picks, 56 yards on 9 completions out of 24, Fred Taylor 55 rushing yards, Maurice Jones-Drew 52, and a touchdown. So that's that. Colts win 29-7. Now let's get into the good stuff. It's the power rankings. Here we go. At number 32, bottom of the barrel, the Miami Dolphins. They are 0-7. And what more can I say? They're the Dolphins. What? Why do I have this paper? What? Why do I have this? The Dolphins are 0-7. They're at the bottom. Okay, now let's move to number 31, the St. Louis Rams. They haven't won a game. I'm telling you, I don't know why I'm telling you this. They are the worst team in the league. Now let's go straight to number 30, the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, here we have something to talk about. Byron Leftwich, Joey Harrington. You know, who's going to start? One goes in, one of them sucks, one of them gets injured, okay? The Atlanta Falcons, they really have nothing going for them. They're at 1-7 right now. Jarius Norwood, he had some decent yardage, but, you know, he breaks free on the play, and that's where he gets all his yardage. He really can't be a consistent back. Warwick Dunn is 90 years old, and that's that. The Falcons at number 30. Number 29, New York Jets, Jets, 1-6. This week they play the Buffalo Bills. They have a chance to get that second victory. Will we see it happen? Laverne Stoltz, second in the league in receiving yards this week. And, you know, I mean, they have the potential to get things done. We know Chad Pennington can maybe, you know, have a decent game. He can definitely complete the majority of his passes, but if he can't find the deep bomb when they're down, they're not going to be able to come back in games. That brings us to number 28, the Buffalo Bills. 2-4, the Bills still looking for a third victory. You know, they kind of, I don't know, they beat the Ravens and they beat the Jets for their two victories, and you can't really know what to expect. Obviously, they got beat by the teams they should have gotten beat by, and that's the Bills. Rookie Trent Edwards, Pac-10 quarterback. Rookie Marshawn Lynch, Pac-10 running back. Lee Evans, the wide receiver with speed. We did find him yesterday, or this past weekend, so we know that he's still alive, and that's good to know. So, the Buffalo Bills, and now we move to number 27, the Cincinnati Bengals. 2-4, the Bengals, they don't play defense, they're not going to win games. They finally play defense. I mean, they play a little bit of defense. They got an interception, took it back to the house, and that's pretty much what they needed in a 38-31 victory. And the Bengals, you know, I don't know, they're coming off a bye this week, and I believe they are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Steelers. Now Steelers coming off a loss, and the Cincinnati Bengals coming off a victory. We're gonna see, can the Bengals really take on a good team, a top elite team in the NFL? And they are at home. They're a different team at home. They have their 3-0 at home. And so, what can I say? We have to see what this team can do. And right now, at 2-4, it's not looking good. So let's go to the next team, 26 in the power rankings, New Orleans Saints. The Saints on a 2-game winning streak. Can you believe it? These guys have beaten Seattle and Atlanta in the past 2 games. Now they play at San Francisco, very winnable game there, and then Jacksonville at home. So that's going to be, you know, their first real challenge in the past 4 or 5 weeks. But this team, third in the NFC South. Could they turn it around? I don't know. Tampa Bay at 4-3, they're 2 games ahead. Carolina at 4-2. So there is a possibility, and if they can beat Jacksonville after taking on San Francisco this week, we can see a lot about this team there. Their statistical rankings aren't too good. Their offense and defense in the lower half of the NFL, but we saw they lost the first 4 games and they were just terrible. So that is the New Orleans Saints. Now let's go to number 25, the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders, I don't know, I guess you could say they are who we thought they were, to put it cliche-ly, if that's a word. But they have the ability to break out in the running game. Lamont Jordan, Justin Fargas we've seen, Dominic Rhodes, we can see them do that. When are we going to see Jamarcus Russell? I'll admit, okay, Dante Culpepper is a good quarterback. He's getting the job done. We've seen him score 5 touchdowns in the game against the Dolphins, granted. But I need to see Jamarcus Russell on this team. Obviously, they're not going anywhere in the next 2 or 3 years. So throw in Jamarcus Russell. I don't care if he's not ready. I know he missed minicamp. It's week 8, son. It's halfway through the field. Lane Kiffin, put Jamarcus Russell in. Oakland Raiders, they have a good defense, but right now they're sitting with 2 wins, tying their total from last year. 2-4, pretty good, but they're at number 25 in the power rankings. Number 24, the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals. Quarterback problems would be an understatement, because Kurt Warner playing with a robotic arm, he had to hand off he could still throw, the robotic arm was on his left arm, but it was weird seeing him hand off the ball. But, you know, they do have Edgerrin James back there, giving them some support in the running game. And Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, very capable receivers, but we haven't really seen them break out because, obviously, they haven't had the chance to with quarterback issues. Tim Rattay played a little bit. He got his fair share of interceptions, so you gotta give the man credit. But right now, the Cardinals at 3-4. They're at the top of the division, tied with they're down by a game from Seattle. So, but that's by default. I mean, a 3-4 team should not be second place in the division. St. Louis has yet to win a game, and San Francisco's at 2-4. And we will get San Francisco in a second. They're still up there because of their defense. But let's get to another defensive team right here. Number 23, the Chicago Bears. Are they a defensive team? I don't know. Robbie Gould, their kicker, he has been the difference maker. I mean, he did miss one against the Philly in the Philadelphia game, but they pulled off the victory 19-16. And Brian Greasy playing pretty well, especially on that last drive, obviously. And Devin Hester, I like what I see. Lovey, thank you. I like Devin Hester in the game, starting to incorporate him in the offense. It seems like Devin Hester's kind of been, you know, since training camp, he's kind of been getting used to it, and that was when he's really felt comfortable. And when they put him in, it's not that they were hiding him or anything. So he's still the kick return threat, still the punt return threat, even when he doesn't catch the ball. He gives them a great field position when they kick it out of bounds. And Brian Greasy, no, I mean, we've seen his potential. We've seen how bad he can be and how good he can be. So there is some upside for Chicago Bears fans. Keep your head up. Cedric Benson, I don't know, but this week they have a pretty good matchup against the Detroit Lions. So let's move on to another defensive team, the San Francisco 49ers. The 2-4 SF Niners, number 22 in the power rankings. Now, they are above the Cardinals, who have a better record, but I don't know. This team, they're having issues with injuries. Trent Dilfer, mainly. I mean, you have Trent Dilfer there, 90 years old. He throws one touchdown against the Ravens, and he starts going crazy. I believe he's still celebrating, and he can't really do anything, honestly. He has pretty good receivers. He has Vernon Davis, the young tight end with speed. That guy has speed, but he can't really do anything. Frank Gore, I don't know. He's not getting too much done, but you can't really put all the blame on him because they had somewhat of a passing attack last year when he was getting in the groove, so there was something to take the pressure off him, but now the team just puts 8 or 9 in the box, leaves two or three guys back in coverage. Say Trent Dilfer passed the ball, and he says, okay, and he throws it to the wrong team. So, that's the dilemma with the Niners. Joe Nedney, I've never liked him as a kicker, and I don't know why I'm even talking about him. He's a kicker. But, Niners are 2-4, and if they can play well this week against the Saints, they have a chance of moving up. Now let's go to number 21, the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off a loss. They are at 2-4. Why are they at 2-4? Why did they lose to the Bears? Why are they losing these games? The Eagles are better than this. This isn't the Philadelphia Eagles of old. This is not the Philadelphia Eagles that went to 3 straight NFC Championship games. But, I don't know, they're healthy for once. They have Brian Westbrook, they have Donovan McNabb, but, I don't know, they lost to the two New York teams, they beat New York Giants, and they lost to the Jets. Then this past week, they lost to the Chicago Bears. Now they play at Minnesota and against Dallas. A couple tough games. Minnesota, stingy run D. Very good run defense. And this run offense is 12th in the league. They are in last place in the NFC East. And part of that, you know, that's a tribute to having so many wins in the NFC East. But this team at 2-4 is down at the bottom. Washington at 4-2 in third place. So they're 2 games out of third place. Not looking too good for the Eagles, so, you know, I mean, their playoff hopes kind of not too bright, if you ask me, but they can turn it around because they play, once again, against Dallas at home, so they can turn it around, and I feel like they are the team that can do that. They're not just weighing down there like the Raiders. They are a good 2-4 team. Now let's go to a better 2-4 team, the Minnesota Vikings, the team that plays the Eagles this week. The Vikings with rookie sensation Adrian Peterson, and with quarterback Tavares Jackson, let's just skip right over that, and their defense, their run D, not their pass D, very good. I like this team. I like the Minnesota Vikings, but they've only won 2 games. They don't, you know, like, I want to like them, but they can't come through. Against Green Bay, they lose 23-16. Against Dallas, they lose 24-14. Brad Childress, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? You got Adrian Peterson, and you give him the ball 12 times. He touched the ball 13 times, including with a reception. He got 12 carries. 12 carries! The guy's a beast! He scored 4 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears D, and you give him the ball 12 times. Now you're playing against Philadelphia and San Diego. 2 winnable games, at home. Both games at home in the Metrodome. If you don't give him the ball, you're going to lose your job, because you're not going to win games if he doesn't get the ball. And, you know, I mean, I hope that Brad Childress either learns or that they find a new coach for the Minnesota Vikings, because at 2-4, this team is very, very far below their potential, and that's not, I don't like what I see. So let's move to number 19, the Denver Broncos, 3-3, right at 500, 3 of those victories coming off the foot of Jason Elam, as I said yesterday. And there isn't too much with this Denver Broncos team. They played on Sunday night without Champ Bailey. Dre Bly was in and out. He did make an interception, though, so that was key. But now they play against Green Bay and at Detroit. So we'll learn about this team. Can they win those iffy games? You know, they beat Pittsburgh and San Diego, 2 very good teams. They beat Pittsburgh, lost to San Diego and Indianapolis. So they've had a tough schedule, I have to admit. Indianapolis, San Diego, and Pittsburgh 3 weeks in a row. But now they play Green Bay and at Detroit, so let's see if they can get it done. Now let's move to the next team. Number 18, the Houston Texans. 3-4, the Texans having injury problems. I see this team on the up, on the uphill, so that's good. I don't know. Usually I get this confused. Uphill, you know, is that good or bad? But I see these guys climbing the mountain. The Houston Texans, Amon Green came back. Andre Johnson's still not going to play this week, my god. But Sage Rosenfeld did get the job done in place of Matt Schwab. And I like this defense, this defensive line. Once again, D'Amico Ryans gets a defensive touchdown. So I know that this Houston Texans D is good. And we just have to, once they get healthy, I mean, that's all it is. And I feel like I'm making excuses for them, and I am. But that's what's going on. Now let's go to the Cleveland Browns, number 17. The Brownies, 3-3, right in the middle of the power rankings, right in the middle of their division. Trying to get an edge on the Ravens and trying to catch up to the Steelers on top of that team. But they're coming off a bye, and I like what I see with this team. This team playing against the Rams this week, that's a good outlook for them. And then next week, they play Seattle. So 2 NFC West teams in a row, and they play at home against Seattle. So that's another advantage there. Two games they could win. could move to 5-3, and right now they're going up against Pittsburgh and Baltimore, 4-2 and 4-3. Cincinnati underneath at 2-4, trying to catch up. But I like this Cleveland Browns team. I like Lee Bowden at cornerback, and I like Braylon Edwards at wide receiver. Derek Anderson still got the job, and Brady Quinn, have fun on the bench because you're lucky. You're lucky. You're getting paid to sit on the bench, and that's always good. Let's go to number 16, the Kansas City Chiefs, 4-3. The Chiefs. Why are the Chiefs winning games? They're not good. Why are they on top of this division? It's only a matter of time before the San Diego Chargers take over, but they're 4-3, and the Chargers haven't done it yet. They're ahead of the Chargers by one game, and, God, why? Herm Edwards, why do you play? You play to win the game. They've won against Cincinnati and Oakland the past two games. Now they play Green Bay and Denver at home. Very, very weird phenomenon with this team. Larry Johnson, he didn't show up for the first few games. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless with this team. I don't know what to say. I don't know why they're good. Dwayne Bowe, okay, he's a good rookie. Damon Heward, okay, he's a good quarterback. Last year, he was second in the league in QB rating. Brody Croyle is still on the bench, and leave him there, please. Michael Bennett, he had an explosion last week, or one carry that broke free. And Tony Gonzalez is their main receiving threat, so I don't know about this team, and so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it seems like I already have. Number 15, the Seattle Seahawks, 4-3, this team on top of their division as well, and I don't know why. This is the parity of the NFL. Two teams, not good, on top of their divisions. And, you know, why can't they break up the divisions and have more teams from the NFC East playing in different places? But Seattle Seahawks, Matt Hasselbeck, finding his receivers. They only allowed 6 points to the St. Louis Rams. That's pretty good. But their offense, it's not really their offense. They scored 33 points. But one of those was on defense. One of those was on a kickoff return by Nate Burleson. And they pulled Sean Alexander late in the game. He started complaining about that. That was pretty funny. But this Seattle Seahawks team doesn't really have too much going for them. It's only a matter of time before... Actually, it's not. 49ers and the Cardinals aren't going to do much. The Rams are yet to win the game. I hate to see the Seattle Seahawks win this division again, maybe even 8-8 this season. Last year they won it in 9-7. So, Seahawks fans, you can continue holding your breath while the Arizona Cardinals suffer with injuries, and as do the Niners. So, that's that. Now let's move to number 14, the Carolina Panthers. 4-2, the Panthers. Finally, a team I can talk about. Panthers, quarterback trouble? But that's okay, because they got a wide receiver by the name of Steve Smith. And Steve Smith, you can have me throwing the ball out there. Steve Smith will go and get it, and then he'll take it to the house for a touchdown. And he automatically makes Deshaun Foster and D'Angelo Williams weapons in the running game. They are in first place in the NFC South, 4-2, ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this week they play against Indianapolis and then at Tennessee. Two very tough games. I don't know that they can pull out a victory against Indianapolis, but Tennessee, we're going to learn a lot about this team. This offense, 27th at the pass, 22nd in yards, so not as good as you, not as desirable as you might want, but number 8 in the rushing game, so pretty good for them. Their defense, on the other hand, below average to average defense, so that's that. But they're winning games. They got Vinny Testaverde, they got David Carr, they got whoever it is at quarterback. But they're going to win games because of Steve Smith and because of this defense with Ken Lucas and Jay Pep. Now let's go to the next team. Number 13, San Diego Superchargers. Quick news about the Chargers coming off the bye. There were some fires in Southern California, in case you haven't heard yet. And so they may end up playing their game in Arizona. I know they're practicing there this week. And they might not be playing at Qualcomm Stadium come Sunday. So that's that. It shouldn't affect them too much. I think they did this either last year or the year before. But LT's house also affected by that. But with new wide receiver Chris Chambers coming in and them coming off a bye, I see a very good outlook for this team. This week, they play Houston and then at Minnesota. I'd say average to above average teams there. They're second in the AFC West, but once again, it's only a matter of time before they take over Kansas City. So, Eric Parker, their wide receiver, placed on IR. I believe that was, last week? The same day they traded for Chris Chambers. And Chris Chambers coming in, Chris Chambers, Vincent Jackson, Antonio Gates, all of a sudden, pretty good pass attack. Phillip Rivers, a young quarterback, still developing, and I see his performance take a huge step forward with this team. LT finally getting on track this season. Now let's go to number 12. A disappointing team for me, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I kind of jumped on their bandwagon, and now I'm jumping off because they were kind of exposed in the passing game. The Lions went to work on them. That put them at 4-3. So, you know, I mean, I guess you could say Rob Marinelli helped build that, but, you know, I mean, they were exposed in the passing game, and that was what surprised me as well. I mean, maybe in the running game, but passing game where they got cornerbacks like Brian Kelly, Rondé Barber, veterans, and Roy Williams, Calvin Johnson getting behind them, not too good. Jeff Garcia still yet to throw an interception, as does David Carr, but, you know, their defense has to be at that elite level if they want to compete. Now let's go to the team that beat them. Number 11, the Detroit Lions. The Kitty Cats, no more. No, they are at 4-2, and they are hot. They started off the season 2-0, then they lost the next two games, and, you know, that's that, and then they've won, lost. And now they play at Chicago, so they're going to face another tough defense, and we're going to see if they can put up another fight. Then they play at home against Denver, which will be an interesting game. A couple teams on the brink of, you know, are they for real? Are they competitors, or are the Broncos just going to continue to win games off of, you know, cheap little timeouts before the kick? But the Lions are a team that can compete. Now Calvin Johnson is healthy back on the field. I feel like he brings another dimension to that team. Yeah, someone might say, oh, he's just another wide receiver. But no, this guy on reverses, you know, now Kevin Jones is healthy. Kevin Jones is a huge threat. I loved him last year, but then he got injured, and he's been injured since then, you know, throughout training camp. And now he's back on the field, and you kind of feel like he's holding back a little bit, but no, he's good. He's full speed. KJ, number 32, and I like what I see with the Detroit Lions. Now let's go to number 10, the Tennessee Titans. Yes, the Vince Young-less Tennessee Titans at 4-2, and they won a game. How did they do it? I picked this team to win, I believe, 4 or 5 games, because I put the over-under at Vince Young's Madden curse injury at week 3. So, you know, assuming they went 3-0, or 2-1, losing to Indianapolis, then somehow Kerry Collins pulled out some victories, and they win 5 games. But no, this team already at 4-2, looking very good, defense playing well. That's the Tennessee Titans. You can see them this week against Oakland, and then an interesting game against Carolina in Week 9. So, that's the Tennessee Titans. Now let's go to the Baltimore Ravens, my Baltimore Ravens at 4-3. They are, I believe they're going on bye this week, and I don't like it. I don't like what I see. I don't like to see them lose to the Buffalo Bills. Granted, Ray Lewis didn't play, Jonathan Ogden still out, Todd Heap still out, Trevor Price still out. Okay, they're injured, and Chris McAllister also still out. So, but let's be honest here. This defense isn't just pure talent, it's also coaching and all of the little things that go into it. But, you know, this offense needs to break free. Oh, Steve McNair out also. But I like Kyle Bowler better. Wilson Gahee, far better than Jamal Lewis. So I like what I see there. Granted, 46 of his 113 yards came on one run for a touchdown. It's a beautiful play. Check it out on NFL.com. But Baltimore Ravens, 4-3. We're going to see what they can do when they come back from the bye. We'll see if they can hook together a run. Now let's go to number 8, the Washington Redskins. 4-2, the Redskins. This week they play against New England Sunday night. I got to say that's going to be a loss, but I like this team. I was looking at their schedule earlier, and they have pretty light schedule after their bye. So that's something to look forward to, and that is the 4-2 Washington Redskins. Now, only one of two one-loss teams, the Green Bay Packers at 5-1. They haven't, I mean, I had to put this team down at number 7 in the power rankings, but now that I look at it, they've only lost one game. I mean, you can go as far as you want with opinions, stats, and all that, but when it comes down to it, Brett Favre, he has lost one game, and that was the Chicago Bears. That was at home. That was ugly, but they play at Denver and at Kansas City. Two AFC West teams, two winnable games. They are last, dead last, in rushing yards on offense, only 65 yards per game, but second in pass yards, so you can see where it balances out there. First in the NFC North, and you know, in the end, that's what's important to coach Mike McCarthy. So that is the Green Bay Packers. Now let's go to number 6, the New York Giants. I want to talk about the New York Giants. I don't have very much time to talk about them, but I want to talk about it. So just know that this team can put up a fight against any team in the NFL. Yeah. Sit on that one a little bit. Yes, they can, because of their defensive line can get pressure on anybody. And I'll tell you this right now. If there is a way to beat Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, it's by putting them on their back. It's by having them run out of the pocket. It's by forcing them to run the ball, because let's be honest. Would you rather face Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker, or Lawrence Maroney, Sammy Morris, and Kevin Falk, whoever? Yeah, it's pretty obvious. So, you gotta get pressure on them. And we have an offense here, Plaxico Burress, the three-headed monster, Ruben Drones, Brandon Jacobs, and Derek Ward, who can get the ball rolling on offense. And at 5-2, this team is looking good in the NFC. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, number 5. Steelers disappointing on Sunday night, but I don't know, they got away from their game plan. I don't feel like that was because of personnel problems, because of talent, whatever. They did get Polamalu Hampton and Hines Ward back, I believe he was the other injured. So that is looking good for them, and I see an interesting game, Monday Night Football against the Ravens, and that's going to be fun to watch. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 4, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They lost on Monday night to the Colts, but don't take anything from that game, because, you know, they're still the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everyone's going to lose to the Colts and the Patriots, so you can't really take too much from that game. They're at 4-2, and I still think this is top 3 defense in the NFL. Maybe a top 4-5 running game, and that's what they live off. Jack Del Rio, great defensive coach, great defensive mind, hit him in the mouth type of football, and that's what I like to see. Number 3, the Dallas Cowboys, first in the NFC, 6-1 this team, have only lost to the New England Patriots. But it's not, I don't know, they're going to be playing in 1 or 2 weeks, they play against the New York Giants. That's going to be a tough game, I have to say. Tony Romo, we saw him get shaken up against the Buffalo Bills, and that we saw what happened in that game. Yes, he won, but is he going to be able to do that against the Giants? We don't know. Let's find out. Number 2, the Indianapolis Colts. They didn't move into number 1 because Peyton Manning didn't throw 6 touchdown passes. Let's be honest. So they're 6-0. They're going to stay there until the Patriots drop off, because I believe that number 1, the New England Patriots, are the best team in the NFL. Are they the best team in NFL history? That is a good question. Is Tom Brady the best quarterback of all time? Well, we will definitely find out. By the end of the season, we will know if Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. And if the answer to that is yes, then we are seeing it right now. And it is amazing what we see. 6 touchdown passes. He's going to shatter at the rate that he's going. Grand, no injuries, okay, all that good stuff. At the rate that he's going, he is going to shatter every single season record known. He completed 80% of his passes last week. I don't know how many perfect passer ratings he's had this season. I'm guessing 2 or 3 off the top of my head. But he's thrown like 3 or 4 interceptions in this season. And what, 6 touchdowns this game? He's had 2 6 touchdown games. He has, I believe, something in the 30s of touchdowns. That's ridiculous. That is not legal in 47 states. Will the cold weather affect him when it starts to snow in Foxborough, come December and January? No, because we've seen what he can do. We've seen his potential. We've seen the genius of Bill Belichick. Everything for this team is going right. They've been playing without their starting running backs, and they are number 1, 7-0. They haven't even had their bye yet, but look out. A week from Sunday, it's going to be the first games of November. Patriots at Colts, a very interesting matchup. Maybe the game of the year right there. Don't call me crazy, but that's that. So, I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP, October 24th. That is a Wednesday. And I have been Beast Child. You have been the beautiful audience. Peace! Thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power with Beast Child. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and if you want to talk back to me, send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com. Or you can visit the almighty website, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Remember, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell your enemies. The TWHOP, the greatest invention since the Apple. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. Peace out! Yeah! halfhourofpower.googlepages.com.